Little introduction. We all know the story of Hanukkah. In the time of Bayit Sheni, the Yevanim, they tried to eliminate Judaism from the map. They made gezeirah on the Jewish people. You weren't allowed to learn Torah. You weren't allowed to do mitzvot. And this they tried, and again, to eliminate Judaism from the world. Beyond the gezeirah that they made, they broke into the Beit HaMikdash. They were metame everything they could find. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mercy on Am Yisrael. We cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we had mercy. And he gave strength to the Chashmonim to come in and to defeat the Yevanim, to defeat the Greeks, to restore the Beit HaMikdash, and they restored even the Malchut of Am Yisrael. For over 200 years, the Malchut was held by the Chashmonim. After the victory on Kaf Hei Kislev, so they went into Beit HaMikdash, we all know the story, and they were looking to light the menorah. And they could only find one pach hashemen, one measure of oil that would light the menorah for one day. And the miracle, as we know, it lasted 8 days, and for that reason we have an 8-day holiday called Hanukkah. And I won't get into the famous question of the Beis Yosef. This is just a little homework for you to ask yourself, well, what was the miracle? Was it a miracle for 7 days? Because really they had one pach, and it lasted an extra 7 days, so maybe we should celebrate 7 days. This is the famous question of the Beit Yosef, and there are many, many, probably 100 answers to this famous question. Seth will give a shiur on about 50 of them afterwards. I was thinking about just the history of Hanukkah, and it is so ironic, or as we would say in the yeshiva, it is so hashgacha, that the whole goal of the Yevanim was to eliminate Torah, eliminate mitzvot, to distance the Jews from Judaism. And what do we find? The exact opposite happened. If you go around the world, anywhere where there are Jews in the world, which is most of the world, you will find Chanukiah. You will find people keeping Hanukkah. People who are so distant from Judaism, they're still, their connection to Judaism is Hanukkah. And Chabad, you know, the symbol of the menorah of Chabad all over the world, to Makar of Jews back to Judaism, is the irony of Hanukkah, that the intention of the Yevanim was to distance us from Judaism, but what did it give birth to? To a holiday called Hanukkah, which brings Jews from all over the world who are so removed from Judaism closer to Yahadut. Chazal saw this day was a special day, not just the victory, but also the next Pach HaShemen, and they were metaken 8 days of Hallel and Simcha. And we know that there are certain halachot that are connected to the festive nature of the day. One is to say Hallel. We say full Hallel. Therefore, not only Ashkenazim, but Sfaradim make a bracha on Hallel. We know that most of the times we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, on most of the days of Pesach, we say Hallel. It's a Chatzi Hallel. And Ashkenazim make a bracha on Chatzi Hallel because it's a minhag, and they make a bracha on minhagim. But Sfaradim, like Sami Arari, so he does not make a bracha on Hallel. He shouldn't, at least, if it's half Hallel. Only on a full Hallel, because full Hallel, that's the Ikar Tikkun. It's not just a minhag, it's a halacha. It's a halacha de Rabbanan that we say Hallel on Hanukkah itself for 8 days. So it's a full Hallel. There's a sefer, a fascinating sefer. It's a great sefer. And one day you should all own a copy of this. He writes on most of the holidays. Mikrei Kodesh, written by Rav Moshe Harari. I'm sure that Rav Steinberg knows him personally. He studies and teaches at Yeshivat Merkaz Harav. And he basically, it's an amazing thing. He asked all of the Gedolim, from every single, from Rav El Yashiv to the Yeshivat Yeshiva of Merkaz Harav, everyone in between, Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, he gathered all of the writings of Rav Moshe Feinstein, everything he could find on all the topics of all the Chagim, and he put it together, and he came up with a book, which is like the book of all books on Hilchot Hanukkah, in my opinion. So he writes, in the very back he brings down Rav Moshe Feinstein. He had Piske Halach on Hanukkah that were gathered by Rav Moshe Tendler, his son-in-law. So he gathered something very interesting. He says that he quotes the Rav Moshe Feinstein that on Hanukkah it's proper to wear Shabbos shoes. He says it's the festive nature of the day, not just Shabbos shoes, but you shouldn't even wear Shabbos clothing. He says the Hasidim, if you walk around Yerushalayim, you will see, and Ramat Beit Shemesh, you will see Hasidim wearing strimals. You wear strimals on Shabbos and Yontov. So they wear it also on Hanukkah, because Hanukkah has a festive nature to it. So anyone here who wears a strimal, you should wear it for Hanukkah as well. But if you don't have a strimal, you should at least try to wear nicer shoes, nicer clothing. It's counterintuitive for some people. People view Hanukkah as a vacation time. I'll down my dress. Instead, really, you should do the opposite. It says Rav Moshe Feinstein, you should lift up your dress and dress properly, almost like a chag for Chanukah. He also brings down two great gedolei ador, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, who was the head of the Eid HaRedis. He was he felt that just like there's a mitzvah before a chag to learn the halachot of the chag, this mitzvah you'll see before Sukkot, we learn the halachot of Sukkot. Before Pesach, we learn the halachot of Pesach. So too, he said, an extension of this idea is for Chanukah. You should learn the halachot before, which we have been doing. But the Aderet, who was Rav Cook's father-in-law, also a big Talmud Chacham, he had many Talmidim, he made sure that his Talmidim would learn the halachot of Chanukah on Chanukah every single day. And this is something I think that's appropriate for everyone to adopt, that every single day of Chanukah, learn some of the halachot of Chanukah. Beyond that, all Torah in general, again, the Yavanim were trying to mishakeach, they were trying to let us forget, make us forget Torah, to try to eliminate Torah from the curriculum of Judaism. So if that's the case, we should do the exact opposite, give a shtup to them, and learn more and more Torah on Chanukah. So that's in terms of the nature of the day. The Hilchot Avelu does apply on Chanukah. It's not like on Pesach, on Sukkot, you would not... If someone was in Avel right before Pesach, and then Pesach came, then Avela would stop for him. He would be sitting Shiva for 2 days, Pesach came, no more Shiva. Same thing with Sukkah Shavuos. But on Chanukah, if a person was sitting Shiva before, he would continue the Shiva during, there is Hilchot Avelu on Chanukah. However, a Hesped, a eulogy, would not be delivered unless it's for a big Talmud Chacham on Chanukah, because again, the festive nature of the day. Okay. The big mitzvah that everybody knows that Chazal were Matakin is? Lighting candles. It's one of the mitzvot de Rabbanan, lighting candles on Chanukah. This was a mitzvah that was instituted by Chazal, and the Rambam writes about this mitzvah. Listen carefully. The Rambam writes, mitzvah hadlakat ner Chanukah chaviva hi ad me'od. Very strong lashon. It's a very, very beloved mitzvah to us. V'tzarich lizeher ba kedei lo'diya ha'nes u'lo'sif b'shevach ha'el v'hodaya al anisim sha'asalanu. You have to really, really take the mitzvah seriously, because this mitzvah is really thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu for the nisim he did to us, and really recognizing the nisim that he has gone upon us, and praising a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Chazal go to such an extent, they say, Haragil b'ner Chanukah, someone who's accustomed, who does ner Chanukah consistently, so he will have sons who will become Talmidei Chachamim. That is what Chazal say. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, Chaf Gimel. Someone who's Ragil in ner Chanukah, he will have sons who are Talmidei Chachamim. I'll just tell you a story that Rav Benji just told me right before Mincha. He said, we were talking a little bit about Chanukah, so he said, you know, when I was in ninth grade, this Gemara is what made me into learning. Seth, remember this from previous year? Yeah. He says, this Gemara is what made me serious about learning. I said, what? So he said, yeah. You know, we're three kids in the family, and my parents... So they are very serious about Ner Chanukah. He says, and I have one brother and one sister. My brother, he's really not so into learning and stuff like that. And my sister, well, she's a girl. So if Chazal are right that someone who's ragil in Ner Chanukah, he'll have, you know, a son that's a Talmud Chacham, so he must be talking about me. So I have the responsibility to become a Talmud Chacham. And he says, this Gemara pushed him to become a Talmud Chacham. That's what he said. Believe it or not. Okay, we're going to go now through the halachot of Chanukah. We'll go step by step, and if you have any questions, you can feel free to ask. First, basic question, what should you light? What should you light? So you should light a Chanukiah. What should you light? The Gemara says that the Ner Ishu Beito is really the Iker Mitzvah. That if you, all you really need to light every day, every night, is one candle. Light one candle, and that's all you need. Every single, the fifth day, one candle. The sixth day, one candle. However, there's a level of mahadrin that every single that you light a candle for every single person in the house. And then there's a level of mahadrin, mina mahadrin, that every single day, we paskin like Beit Hillel, you add a candle. Okay, there's a machloket Rashi, Tosfot in the Rambam. How do we define this mahadrin, mina mahadrin? Do we say that really the Iker Mitzvah is one candle, and then one for everybody, and then building on that, the mahadrim and the mahadrim is that everybody should light a whole Chanukiah. Or do we say, no, 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 there's one candle, Mahadran is one for every person, but Mahadran and Mahadran, a totally different maslul, would be to light one whole Chanukiah for the whole family. So this is a machloket, Tosfot in the Rambam, and ironically, the Svardim, the Shulchan Aruch and the Svardim, they paskin really like Tosfot on this, and the Ashkenazim, they grab the Shita of the Rambam. Okay? So basically, what does that mean? What does that translate? That Svardim should only light one person in the whole household. Sammy at home, how many Chanukiyot do you light? One. Jacob, how many Chanukiyot do you light?
Numerous.
Mm-hmm. So he's probably influenced by Chabad or something, but it's fine. So you have the Rambam to rely upon. The Ashkenazim, though, I would bet that most people here, they grew up where many Chanukiyot were being lit in the home. And that is the minhag of the Ashkenazim. What should you light? Chanukiyot made out of what? What? Yeah, the Chanukiyah itself can be made out of anything. What about the candles? What do you say? What are the candles made out of? Olive oil. Shem and Zayit's a great answer. Any other answers?
Wax.
That's another answer. The Rama, the Shulchan Aruch brings down the halacha. It's a very clear halacha in the Gemara. Kol hashmanim v'aptilot k'sherim l'ner Chanukah. Every single type of oil, every single type of wick is kosher for Nerot Chanukah. Va'afal pi she'ein hashmanim nimshachin achar ptila. Vein ha'ur nitleyaf v'biotam ha'ptilot. Even if the oil is not so good and it's like flickers, the flame is not a good flame, the wicks are not good wicks, it doesn't draw up the oil well, it's all kosher. Everything is kosher. However, the Ramah says immediately, umiyu, however, shemen zayid mitzvah min emuvchar. Really, shemen zayid is the best. Okay, that's the best thing. Mishaber explains, why is shemen zayit dafka the best way to do it? It's the answer. Because the nes happened through shemen zayit. They discovered pach ha-shemen with shemen zayit. So do it with shemen zayit. That's the best thing. That's the best way to become the mitzvah. To such an extent, the Shari Tzion brings down the Maharal. The Maharal says that you should only use shemen zayit and nothing else. You should not use wax. Mr. Brewer immediately says that's not true. The minig is to use wax. I guess where the Mishnah Berurah in Radin, right? The Chafetz Chaim lived in Radin, so where he was, they must have used wax a lot. And in America, I would assume that 90% of the candles being used, maybe 95, maybe 99, are wax candles. Is that true? Yeah. But in Eretz Yisrael, that's certainly not the case. In Eretz Yisrael, certainly where olive oil you can find everywhere in abundance, we try our best to light with olive oil. We'll get a little bit later on in the shiur to lighting Erev Shabbos, certainly when you need the candle to be lit for a lot longer, using wax, unless you have a very big candle, it's not so good because it gets burned very quickly. And certainly in the yeshiva, when we have many, many Chanukiyot lit in the proximity, the heat of the room will melt the wax much quicker. It's much, much better to use oil, both because the nes happened through olive oil, but also in order that it should light the appropriate amount of time, which we'll get to. Okay, so that is, you're allowed to use wax, but it's better to use oil. Certainly the Mishnah Berurah feels it's better, and the Ramah brings down, you should use shemen zayit. Okay, if you're in the army, and you're out in some field somewhere, and all you have is like gun oil or something like that, you could be yotzei with the gun oil. Any oil is good. Any oil is fine. You have canola oil, sesame oil, whatever it is, it's all good. But olive oil is really the best. Spend the extra few shekels and get yourself some olive oil. Okay. So who should light? Who should light? So we just said that the Sfardim hold, that the master of the household, he should light, and everyone is yotzei with that lighting. The Ashkenazim, who should light?
Everybody.
Everybody should light. Everybody includes?
Children.
Everybody does not include?
Your wife.
Excellent. So the minhag seems to be that everyone does not include your wife. Now, if everyone, is a woman chayav in Erev Chanukah?
Yes.
The answer is yes. She's absolutely 100% chayav in Erev Chanukah. Why? Because af hein hayu boto anes. They were involved in the mitzvah. They were the mitzvah. In fact, they were not only with the gzeret on Torah and mitzvot, but there were these awful gzeret about women who had to, when they would get married, they would first have to go to the officer of the city and he would have his way with her. They were awful gzeret on the woman. So af heina yuboto anei, certainly they're chayav in Erev Chanukah, but they're yotzei the mitzvah with their husbands. Why? So the Shaar HaTzion brings down, ishto kegufo, that really he's lighting and it's like she's lighting as well. It's not a normal application of Ishto Kigufo, but that is what is brought down. That really the man lights and the woman does not have to light. What about single women? They should light. So, I wish Yonah Friedman was here. I'd be curious to know his minhag. Yonah Friedman is an enical of the Chtam Sofer. He's a direct line from the Chtam Sofer. So in the Chtam Sofer's community, so women did not light. Women did not light. And this was for the reason of Kol Kvod Bat Melech, Kvod Bat Melech Pnima, that really a Bat Melech, a Jewish princess, every Jew, not a Jewish American princess, a Jewish princess, her kavod is Pnima, is to be inside, it's not Sanua thing. So therefore the women did not light in that. But everything follows the Minhag. Rav Arari brings down that there's a sefer called Nefesh Harav, written by Rav Shechter, on all the Minhagim of Rav Soloveitchik. So in Rav Soloveitchik, so this issue of Ishto Gufo didn't really... So Rav Soloveitchik, his wife, used to light. And Rav Lichtenstein's wife, who is Rav Soloveitchik's daughter, she apparently lights. She lights Nerot Hanukkah. That's what he's brought down in Nefesh Harav. That the whole family, all the Soloveitchik women, they would light. Because it says, very, very mefurash, it says, that women are chayv to light. Ki af hein ayu boto anes. So everything goes according to Minhag. Either some families, everyone lights, including the women and the girls. And in some families, only the head of the household. Everything according to the Minhag. And there are every single type of Minhag out there. Okay. When should you light? What do you say? One opinion? Seder Kochavim. Another opinion? Shkia. Those are the two opinions. The Gemara says, Mishatishke Achama. When the sun sets, that's when a person should light. So there's a machloket in the Rishonim. What does this mean, Mishatishke Achama? Is it Tchilat Shkia, the beginning of Shkia? Or is it Sof Shkia, the end of Shkia, and that would be Seder Kochavim? They lines up, the Rambam holds that it's really Tchilat Shkia. It's the beginning of Shkia. And the Rush and the Tour hold that it's Seder Kochavim. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Rush and the Tour. He says that you should light at Seder Kochavim. And that is not the Minhag in Eretz Yisrael. In the Luach, in the Luach of Rav Tukachinsky, who he writes all the halachot of Eretz Yisrael, so he writes like the Rambam. And the Minhag of Eretz Yisrael is to light at Shkia like the Rambam. That's the Minhag in Eretz Yisrael. The Minhag in Chutz La'aretz, so it varies. It's really, even in Eretz Yisrael, you have many people keeping the Minhag of Chutz La'aretz and lighting at Seder Kochavim. And it's almost a humorous thing to watch people going to Mincha Maariv on Hanukkah. Because you have all sorts of people running across the streets this way and that way, trying to get to the Neir of Hanukkah. This person's, he's just Davin Mincha, he's running to get his Shkia, and this person is running because he just Davin Maariv, and he's trying to get in, and everyone's doing something else according to their Minhag. So there's no set Minhag. I would say that if you would go and ask the people in any given shul, what do you do? Shkia or Seder Kochavim? You will have about 50% of them saying Shkia and about 50% saying Seder Kochavim. The minhag that we're going to do in the yeshiva is the minhag of Eretz Yisrael of the Luach, and that's to light at Shkia. Okay, how long do the candles have to be lit?
30 minutes.
So yeah, so the shir in the Gemara is that they should be lit ad shetich l'rega min ashuk, which is 30 minutes roughly after Seder Kochavim. So really what you need to do, there's, Rojek, how many minutes are there between Shkia and say 23? So here in Eretz Yisrael, it's around 25 minutes or something like that. 23 minutes. You have to add to the half an hour of between Seder Kochavim and Adcha Tichla Regam and the Shuk, you have to add another 23 minutes. So you really have the candle that's going to last you for about an hour, roughly an hour, a little less, but roughly an hour. So those little wax candles certainly won't do it. They won't do it. The ones that you get, where are they made? In Afula? They have there was one factory that they make wax candles for all of Rishon LeZion. That's the matzahs. for all of the world. They make all year round, they're making these candles. And they haven't changed the candle in 50 years, I think. It's the same exact candles that they've been making. So those would not do it. They're not going to last an hour, I don't think. Maybe if you lit at Seder Kochavim, they would last a half an hour. Maybe just they make about that. But with your olive oil that the Zerat Hashem you'll all buy, so then we would not have a problem. It'll last for a few hours. Okay. Just one point. If you do paskin, yes. Well, the Gemara doesn't say half an hour.
No, it says
right.
We're Mashar that shir to be a half hour.
Half hour after tzeis. I think that's what the poskim said. I'll look at it again to make sure. The question does arise, if you hold Tzedek Kochavim. Let's say you hold Tzedek Kochavim. Whose sheet is that? Who's listening? That's the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch, right? So if you hold Seder Kochavim, so then you have two mitzvot which happen simultaneously. What are those two mitzvot? Ner Chanukah in one hand. And what's the other one? Davening Marv. And in Marv there's a mitzvah deraita of Kriyat Shema. So you have these two mitzvot. Which one has to give? What do you do? Which one give? Which one goes first? No, but the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is certainly not Rishut. So, and it happens right there. Tadir Rishenu, Tadir Tadir Kohen. Excellent. Well done. So you should really daven Maariv before you light candles. So in that case, what you should do is you should set up your candles, especially as the days go on, and it gets more and more difficult to set up your candles. It takes more time. So set up your candles in advance. Daven Maariv, come back and immediately light. Now, many of the shuls are sensitive to this issue, and they will be makdi Maariv, even though they normally aren't makdi Maariv. They don't bring Maariv earlier. So on the days of Hanukkah, there'll be Makdim Marav in order that people should be able to light with Tzeis. And then there's a question, do you have to go back and say Kriya Shema if you daven right before Tzeis or not? That's already Machlokas Poskim as well. But we always say Kriya Shema as many times as you can. It's always a great thing to do. Okay. Fine. The big question that everyone, and you'll see it's the same people asking the same questions every year, is where do I put the Chanukiah? Where do I place it? Where do I put it? So I'll read you first two Gemarot, and then we'll discuss the practical applications. The first Gemara is a Gemara in Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Amud Bet. Tana Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Lanicha Al Petach Beito Mibachutz. First part is a mitzvah to put it at the entrance of your home on the outside. Everyone knows Rav Sitrin's home. You'll see that's exactly where he lights. The entrance to his house, on the outside, you'll see the Chanukiah when you go by his house. Imayadar ba'aliyah, let's say you lived on an upper floor, you lived in a loft, you lived up on top. Minicha b'chalon asmucha l'Rishut HaRabim. Where would you put it? You put it on the window that faces Rishut HaRabim. Then the Gemara adds, u'bishat ha'sakana menicho al shulchano b'dayo. In a time of danger, where would you put it? Put it inside your house, on the table, and that's enough. That's fine. Okay, that's one Gemara. The second Gemara goes like this. Ner Chanukah mitzvah l'nicho b'tefach ha'samuch l'petach. You should put the Ner Chanukah one tefach from the opening of your home. Hilchata k'shmua k'dei sheyeh Ner Chanukah mismol umzuzam yamin. And as a machloket, which side of the petach? The right side, left side? So the halacha is like Shmuel, who says that you should put the Ner Chanukah on the left side. That way you're surrounded by mitzvah. You're wearing a tzitzis. You walk through, you have the mezuzah on one side, the Ner Chanukah on the other side, and you're surrounded by mitzvah. Those are the two gemaras. Okay? Now the poskim deal with these gemaras for practical applications. First of all, where are you? In Chutz Laretz or in Eretz Yisrael? The minhag in Eretz Yisrael, written down in the luach again, is to light outside. The minhag in Chutz Laretz is to light inside. I spoke to Rav Sitrin earlier, so he said he was in Dallas on Shlichu. He was like for 5 years as the Jewish Studies principal in Dallas in Yavne. And so the first year of Chanukah, he took his Chanukiah, he was ready, went outside, and someone from the community said, no, we don't do that here. We don't put the Ner Chanukah outside. We light it on the inside. And so that's what he did. He lit on the inside. Most people in Chutz Laretz, they light inside, they put it on the window, so everyone from the outside can see it, like the second day of there. Okay. In Eretz Yisrael, there are also many dayot There are people who came from Chutz La'aretz or who didn't even come from Chutz La'aretz, who were here, and they keep the minyan of Chutz La'aretz by lighting on the inside. But now we're going to get to some practical applications. Okay. First of all, the first halacha, which we said, that mitzvah l'anichal petach beitomi b'chutz, so that there's machloket, Rashi and Tosfot, what is the Gemara talking about? According to Rashi, this is true even if the person has a chatzer, meaning I have my house, I have my courtyard, and I'm still going to light my Hanukkah candles right outside the petach of the door, right outside the door. Okay? Tosfot says, no. The Gemara is talking about when you don't have a chatzer, but if you had a chatzer, if you had a courtyard, then you would light at the where the courtyard meets the Rishut HaRabim. You light out there. Okay, and this is a famous machloket, Rashi and Tosfot. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, who can you guess? Guess? Like Tosfot on this one, yeah. Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Tosfot, that if you had a house, and the house had a chatzer, and only the chatzer meets the Rishut HaRabim, then you should light at the where those two meet. However, if you just have a house without a chatzer, so then you would light outside your door. Okay, that's number one. What about most people in Eretz Yisrael who don't have a house, they live in an apartment, what should they do? So yeah, the simple answer would be to light in the window. There are those who say, wait a minute, it's a house with a chatzer. The stairwell and the entry to the apartment, that's also like a chatzer. So you should light, really, over there. However, there were many who didn't feel that way. The Chazon Ish did not feel that the stairwell was considered a chatzer, and therefore you'd have to take a different option. So then what would your option be? You'd have one of two options. Either put it somewhere inside your house, or on the windowsill. So what's better, being on the windowsill, or somewhere else in the house? First of all, where is that somewhere else in the house? Where would you put it? Al Shulchano, that would be one. What else? There's another possibility. By your door. You could put it on your door. You could put it outside your door, which would be Pirsum and Issa for the people living in your building. That would be like Shitat Rashi. Or you could put it inside your door, and you could put it, you know, by the door. So you could at least get, you have your mezuzah on one side, and you have the Neirut Chanuk on the other side, and you have your tzitzis in the middle, you're surrounded by mitzvot, you can at least get that. So what's better to do? To put it by your door, or to put it by the chalon. So in a case where the persumi nisa is going to be greater, if you put it by the chalon, so the Mishnah Berurah says it's definitely better to put it by the chalon. Because there you get two things. You get, it's lit, you could see it, the people in the house can see it, and the people outside the house can see it. And that's more important than being surrounded by mitzvot in the petach way. That's what the Mishnah Berurah paskins. Although there are others who don't do that. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, if you go into his house, is what Rav Harari says, you will see that he puts it on the petach of his house, inside. He feels that it's not a din of persumenis on the outside by the petach there because no one sees. But so he does it on the inside, and he does it after the petach. So there are shito this way, there are shito that way. But certainly if a person doesn't have persumenis on the outside, it's better to put them in the petach. When is an example of this? Let's say a person lives on the 50th floor of a building. Can he light by the window? So the Gemara says that the halacha is that above 20 amot, you're not even yotze the mitzvah. So what does that mean? A person can't live on the fifth floor? He's above 20 amot, he can't live on the fifth floor, he can never be yotze the mitzvah? So what does that mean? How is he going to be yotze the mitzvah? So we revert back to the halacha that you can really put it on your table and it's enough. Okay? So that's really fine. So even if he puts it on his windowsill, the people in the inside can see it. So the nafka mina is, let's say you live alone. If you live alone in a home, no one's there to see it, so then you may have a problem. But if you live with other people and you're lighting, so the persuminisa is at least for the people inside your home. And then you can live on the 60th floor, the 100th floor, it doesn't matter what floor you live on, there's still persuminisa inside. What if you have a building that's opposite your building? This question always comes up every year. I live on the 6th floor, but opposite me, there's someone else who lives on the 6th floor. And he can see my Chanukiah when I put it up. Is that considered persumi nisa? So this, generally we say yes. This is also a machlokes, whether it's considered persumi nisa or not. I forget who says it, but there is one sheet that says, no, that's not persumi nisa. Persumi nisa is for the rabbin. But that person living in that apartment, he's a yachid. Persumi nisa has to really be for Rishut HaRabim, for the people who are going there. And the guy across is not. How do we define Rishut HaRabim today? You're like, what's a Rishut HaRabim? Come on. It's not Rishut HaRabim like in Hilchos Shabbos. Rishut HaRabim means a public area. Meaning it's not where you're living. Your living is Yachid. So anything more than the people in your house is considered a Rabim for the issue of Kirsa Minisa. So those are the Shito. The question is asked, if the minhag in America or in Chutz La'aretz anywhere is to put it inside the house, so the makor for that is if there's sakana. And is today sakana? In the time, Rashi writes, what's the sakana in the times of the Gemara? They would have a holiday around the same time as the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah. I wonder what holiday that could have been back then. So they'd have a holiday. But there was a place of Avodah Zarah, a place of Avodah Zarah, and only in that place were you allowed to light candles. Anywhere else would be usur, by punishment of death, if you would light candles anywhere else. The Persians had this holiday. So you could not light. The only lights could be for the Avodah Zarah. So that was really sakana. So you want to make sure you don't die, so you light it and you put it on your table. But today, what kind of sakana do we have? So there are three different shitas on how we can light inside, even though there's no real sakana today. One is the Bala Itur says, Kevin Shinagu Nagu, once we have a minhag, so even though the reason for the minhag is not there anymore, we can continue to do that minhag. The second opinion is the Ritva. So the Ritva writes, it's not sakanat nefeshot, but it can cause, even if it causes tsar or eva, causes hatred. He says, like us who live in France. I wonder what he meant. So the Ritva, when you put it on the outside, you're gonna get tsar eva from the goyim. So don't do that. And the Aruch HaShulchan extends this to weather. If it's bad weather, you go out. And many of the you live in Syracuse or Rochester, so you're gonna have, you go out on a day like today. You're gonna be snowed in. It's gonna be so hard. It's very difficult. Bad weather, and it's gonna be fogged up anyway. You won't see the Chanukiah anyway. So there it would make sense to light inside. Okay. The big question, where do you guys put the Chanukiah? Right, so you know the answer. So really, there are all the Shitos are out there. Amazing amount of Shita. I even saw today a Shita that the Rosh Hashiva Parat Yosef says you should light in the Beit Midrash because that's the biggest Pirsumei Nisa, and this is considered your home. You're B'nai Yeshiva, this is your home. That's one Shita. There's a question, what's the ikkar? Let's say you sleep in one place and eat in another place. Normally you're at home, you eat and you sleep in the same place. So you would light in that place. That makes sense. But here we live in one place in the dorms and you eat in another place in the Chadar Ochel. So what's Adik? So the Ramah brings down that if you eat in one place and you sleep in another place, so it's best to light where you eat. That's where your kviyut is. Not where you sleep, where you eat. Rav Moshe Feinstein, he qualifies that Ramah. He says, that's true. That's true that if you eat in one place and you sleep in another place, you go after where you eat. But that's true when it's your dining area. But let's say, so like in your apartment, it's better to light in the kitchen than in the bedroom. Light in a place where you could see the kitchen or the dining room. That's where you should light. But B'nai Yeshiva, they're eating in a Chadar Ochel. It's not your Chadar Ochel. You don't have your makom kavu in the Chadar Ochel every single time you go to the same place. Maybe some people do. And that's, your spot. In your room, you have your own bed, your own closet, right? Your own night table. That is your space. But in the Chadar Ochel, it's really public domain. So he says that it's better to light in the Chadar, in the Pnimiyah, in the dormitory. The only problem is, and this post can bring down as well, is that it could be quite dangerous. And you could really burn the whole building down. And it has happened. That some people have burned buildings down because they light Chanukiyot, and then they go out to Daven, and no one's home, no one's watching the Chanukiyah, and something happens. Maybe they buy like the combustible Chanukiyot that we spoke about this morning. And things happen. We had a terrible, almost a fire here last year because of those Chanukiyot. And if no one's watching, something horrible could happen. So therefore, we defer back to the Pashas and the Ramah, and that's the place where you eat is Iker. We're actually going to light here in the annex, which is next to the base medrash, so we'll have that piercing minus of the base medrash. But in order to satisfy the opinions, which are most of them, that you should light either where you sleep or where you eat, and in the annex we don't do either most of the time, we'll make sure to have a meal here every day of Hanukkah in the annex in order that should be the place that we're eating. Okay, so that is that for Hanukkah. That's our kfiyas of where we're eating. We'll make sure to have at least one meal in the annex over Hanukkah. Okay, any questions on anything until now? Yeah.
So we're all supposed to light our own Chanukiah.
Yes. Yeah, so the minhag Ashkenaz that every single person should have their own Chanukiah and make it with a bracha. Make it with a bracha. The Gemara says that achsanai chayav b'ner Chanukah, that someone who's a traveler who's going somewhere, he needs to light ner Chanukah. And then the Gemara tells a little story. Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, Mireish ki avina beirav havina mishtatfa. Mishtatfana prite bahadi ushpiza. When I would, in the beginning, go to the house of Rav, what would I do? I would be mishtatif a pruta. I would give whoever was lighting, I'd give them a little money. I'd say, this, you should be mishtatif me in the oil that's going to be for the Chanukiah, and I'd like to take part of it, because he's chayav in Ner Chanukah. He says, but now, levatar denesivna yitata, now that I've married a woman, I'm married, amina hashta, vadai lo tzrichana, to come and dik elai bego beita. He says, now I have a wife, so she'll light for me at home. And so I'm going to be Yotze with her lighting. So the truth is, if you're at your own homes, let's say in America, and you are going somewhere, you're sleeping over somewhere one night, or you're going to be out very late, if someone's lighting for you at home, that's fine. Then you're Yotze the mitzvah. If you're married, your wife's lighting for you at home, you're Yotze the mitzvah. That's fine. But if you're there, if you're in the place where you're going to sleep or eat that night, so then you should light for yourself in that place. This is the Ikar Adin of even the Sfaradim. The Ashkenazim, though, who everyone lights in their place, so even if someone's lighting for them in their home, they should light for themselves. Because if you were at home, you would light by yourself. So if you're going to be somewhere sleeping somewhere else, light for yourself there as well. So wherever you go, take your little Chanukiah with you, and you should light everywhere. And again, if you're Nizar, and if you're Ragil in Erech Hanukkah, so Bezvat Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu will reward you with Talmidei Chachamim. Yeah. No, it's not a problem. You should try to do whatever your minhag is. If you don't have a clear minhag, certainly it's not a problem. It's not a problem. You could even light later than Seif. The big issue is lighting after the time Shetich L'Regam in Ashuk. And I didn't discuss it, but it's pretty clear amongst all the poskim that today that time of Tich L'Regam in Ashuk is later. I think minimally people say till 9 o'clock is still not Tichle Meravim Neshuk, and most people say till 10. And everyone says it really depends on where you are. If you're going to be in a place where it's hustling and bustling, like Ramat Beit Shemesh, or even more Ramat Beit Shemesh Bet, you go there at night and people are up till 12, 1 in the morning, even little kids. It's an amazing thing to see. So it's you go to Mea Sharon late at night, you'll see people walking the streets at 1 in the morning during Hanukkah, especially the Mechagim. There are all these parties going on. So that's certainly not Tichle Meravim Neshuk. So you can to move from Shkia to Tzeit is a very small step. It's not a problem at all. Yeah.
An electric light bulb considered a fire?
An electric light bulb, you do not make a bracha on. There are the whole question came up many years ago, obviously when the light bulb was invented, whether it was considered whether that's considered bishul or not, whether it's considered. We don't certainly by hadlak and nerot, we do not hold that electric light bulb has the status of nerot Hanukkah. But since you asked the question, I will say something else. For the Sfardim who don't light with a bracha, so who don't light on Chanukah, what should you do here in the yeshiva? What should you do outside? So you can light a Chanukiah, and you could listen to your friend and say amen to his bracha. That's probably the best solution. You get your own Chanukiah, you light it, but you listen to amen. But we have a Chanukiah that we light in the Beit Midrash as well. And that Chanukiah, it's good to have someone who normally is not lighting, is not making a bracha, to light that one. So we'll let you light the Chanukiah for the Beit Midrash. And in general, in many Batei Knesset, little kids do it. But we like the Sfaradim, so the Sfaradim will do it. And we'll have you make all the brachot. You can say all the brachot, and the whole Sibur could be Yotze with you. Yeah. Yeah.
So in terms of, you said like 95% of America has candles. So when you're back in America, would you say that people would do candles based off of their
Mokum? Listen, there are two very different tracks. It's not a din in Minhag HaMakom. You don't have to. Minhag HaMakom is, in America, nobody lights outside, so you can't light outside. In America, many people light with olive oil. But you can, if you feel... The question is, what's the ikker? Is the ikker to do like the nace was with olive oil, or is the ikker to have the best flame possible? So if there are candles which are better than olive oil, so then I could see a person lighting with candles. But today, both the olive oil and the candles, they're both so good, it doesn't really make a difference. So you might as well just light with olive oil, because the nace happened through olive oil. So that's what I would say. But in America, listen, if it's much more convenient to get candles, so do candles. There's nothing wrong with it. The Mishnah Berurah says there's nothing wrong with candles. Other questions? Yeah.
The
shaman excellent question. The question was asked, does the shamash have to last longer than the candles? Because you're not allowed to benefit. Ein lanu v'shut lishtamesh behem, el rotam bilvad. Right? So, the poskim say that really after that half an hour, after you reach the time of half an hour after tzeitz, you could really blow out the candles yourself. You're yotze the mitzvah, you don't have to let them light. We do, we like to, it's nice, it's min hamuvchar to let them light more. But really, after that time, theoretically, you could have benefit from the light of the candles because it's no longer a ner shel mitzvah. So, as long as the shamash lasts for that half an hour period of time after tzeit, you're fine. You don't have to worry about it. Even if the shamash goes out, you can even have benefit from the chanukiah, according to the poskim. It's really not an issue. And again, you could even extinguish the candles when you leave the room, for example, if that half an hour has gone by. So there's no problem. Today we also have something called lights. You know, electric lights, like these lights. It's an amazing invention. And most rooms, they're not like dark and you only have the Chanukiah lit. Sometimes you may have that. So really, that could substitute for the shamash. But we like to light the shamash anyway. It's part of minhag of lighting the Chanukiah, so we keep it. But you really don't need it if you're getting light from the electric lights anyway. Okay, so that's... Yeah.
Doesn't the Shulchan Aruch say that we should keep
Yeah, it's a good question. As I was answering, I was thinking of that question myself. Like, so then the Ikar Adin should be longer and longer and longer, right? So I think all you need is the first half an hour according to the poskim, and then you could extinguish it. But it's a good question. I'll look it up. It's a very good question. Okay, for all those who are married out there, this will go on the internet, I think, right? So for those who are married, what if you're going to come home late? What should you do? What? Excellent, Aaron Lay. Your wife should light for you. So there's a story that that the Chavetz Chaim went to his Rebbe, at a Rebbe in Musar, he went to his Rebbe to see how he lit Hadlaka Neirot, Hanukkah. So he went there, and Shkia came, and his Rebbe didn't light. Seder Kochavim came, his Rebbe didn't light. Waited longer and longer and longer. A couple hours later, his wife came, and then they lit. So he said, listen, I think I know the halacha. It's either Shkia or Tzeit. Like, what happened over here? Why did she not light? So he said that there's another halacha, that if you have only enough money to light either Neirot Chanukah or Neirot Shabbat, what should you do? What gives? What's more important? What? So he says, yeah, Shabbos candles are more important. Why? Shabbos candles give Shalom Bayit, and Shalom Bayit supersedes Pirsim Enisa. And so therefore, he said, like, my wife, it's for her, it's very meaningful. It's for when we get together, we light the Hanukkah candle, she wouldn't want to miss that. So I waited for her to come home. The same could be true the other way. Although the poskim say, really, you know, you should be a little bit more brisker in your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and when the time comes, really, your wife should want you to light right away, or you should want your light to light right away without it. But if b'chol zot, you feel that in your family the dynamic is such that it's much more meaningful when you light together, and it's a very meaningful moment. So certainly, until the moment of whatever your neighborhood has tichla regem and neshuk, it would be nicer to light together than if you would light at the halachic time without everyone being there. Okay? Yeah.
You have to even sell the clothing on your back in order to buy...
Yeah, you do. You do.
So the idea of having either Shabbos or Chanukiah,
Yeah, the question is a valid question. We assume that you've already sold the clothing on your back. You're just borrowing that clothing from the person who sold it. And you're faced with this situation. Obviously, the question is, everyone according to their own terms. Yes. Other questions? Okay. The next issue is a little bit more complicated. And that's, we've talking about during the regular days of the week. What about Erev Shabbos and Motzei Shabbat? Those two times get a little tricky. What's the problem with Erev Shabbat? Very obvious problem. Should you like Shkia or should you like Tzedek Kochavim? Which one?
Shkia.
So you can't even like Shkia. So it's Erev Shabbos. What are you going to do? So when do you normally light Shabbos candles? 18 minutes before? 18 minutes when in Yerushalayim when they light Shabbos candles? 40 minutes before. So now, what should you light first? Shabbos candles or Hanukkah candles? Why? Because, yeah, you can't light Hanukkah, you can't light Shabbos. Technically, you could, but, you know, because if the wife lights the Shabbos candles and you light the Hanukkah candles, technically you could, but you light Hanukkah candles before Shabbos candles. So what do? So you have to light not just before Shkia, but you have to light before Shabbos candles, which are 18 minutes before Shkia. So you have to light then. Now, there's another issue, and this is a minhag, but it's a good minhag to keep, and that is that you should daven mincha before you light Hanukkah candles. Why should you daven mincha before you light Hanukkah candles? Because the avoda, you know, mincha is keneged tmidim, and the avoda happened then, and then only afterwards would they light the candles in the mikdash. So, therefore, you should do mincha first, and then do hadlaka nerut. So in the yeshiva, this Shabbos, we're going to be davening roughly, I don't know if it's 3:50 or 4 o'clock, we're going to be davening mincha early. That way you can daven mincha, and then those, you know, brave Levator Rebbeim will run very quickly home, light, and come back from Marav, Kabbalat Shabbat, and the guys will have an easy time. You'll just go right here to the annex, you'll light your Chanukiah, you'll sing Ma'oz Tzur, we'll come in, and then we'll have plenty of time to bring in Shabbat with Kabbalat Shabbat. So that's what we're doing here. And in many, many shuls, they'll have earlier mincha, whether it's a 12:30 mincha, 1 o'clock mincha, or like we said, a 4 o'clock mincha. Some places, they're not nohig that way. They say it's just too much of a tircha to bring people back and forth, and therefore, you light Hanukkah candles first, and you go afterwards, and that's acceptable as well. Again, nara pashte, everyone according to their mincha, minhag. The Motzei Shabbat presents a different problem. What's Motzei Shabbat's problem? It's late. Especially if you got a guy speaking Shalosh Shittos, it's going very long. It's very late. You can't light candles at Shkia, that's for sure. And you can't really even do a Tzedek Kochavim, because how can you light? You didn't even, you know, you just finished Marav. You know, or you just started Marav. So what do? So the Gra was nohag. He was very, very concerned about Tichle Regem and Ashuk. Very concerned about it. So he would daven Marav a little bit earlier than the normal. Normally we have a Tosefet Shabbos, so we add on to Shabbos, extra time, so that we're well free of Tzedek Kochavim. So on Shabbos, we try to minimize that as much as possible. And you'll see, even here, I believe that Ramatana, our Motzei Shabbat Marav is going to be earlier than normally we daven Motzei Shabbat. But the question arises, Motzei Shabbat, now you have to, again, light two candles. You have Hanukkah candles, and you have Havdalah. So what comes first? What do you think? Havdalah. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch brings down that in Shul, everybody agrees that first you do the Neirot Chanukah. First the Chanukiah comes, and then only afterwards, that's the Pirsumei Nisan, and only afterwards would you have Havdalah. And at home, there are different minhagim. Some are nohag that you really do, like the Luach Eretz Yisrael, first you do the Chanukiah, just like in Shul, and then you do Havdalah, and others are nohag the opposite. Now what's the Svara? Tell me, what do you think? What makes more sense, do Havdalah first, or to do Chanukiah first? Right. So it's not a problem. And in fact, that's probably desirable because to push off Havdalah is good. It shows how much you love Shabbos. You want to push off Havdalah as late as you can because you want to keep Shabbos with you as much as possible. Right. So that's one sfar, and that seems to be the direction of the Shulchan Aruch. The other direction is, Tzvi will get it right because he said this before. What's the other direction to do Havdalah? What? Tadir Shveinu Tadir Kodim. You do Havdalah every single week. Hanukkah is one Shabbos a year, maybe two. So you have Tadir Shveinu Tadir, certainly Havdalah should come first. But again, in Shul, we will be lighting the Chanukiah first, and only afterwards will we have Havdalah. And at home, so everyone according to their own minhag, It would seem to do like we do in shul would be a good direction, and that's what the Luach Eretz Yisrael does. Almost finally, you are in Sderot for Shabbat. You are in Yerushalayim for Shabbat. You are up north for Shabbat. Where are you going to light that night? What should you do? What do you think? What? So that's one possibility. You light wherever you are. What's another possibility? Excuse me? Yeah, you could give a person money to light for you. You make a shaliach to light for you in the place where you're going to be. That's another possibility. What's another possibility? Excuse me? Yotze with who you're with. No, if you're not Yotze. Either you are Yotze or you're not Yotze. If you're Yotze, do it yourself. If you're not Yotze with them, then light where you're going to go back to. And the truth is that all these are possibilities. Rav Shlomo Zalman Ravach came up with a great tiddush. He said that the kviyut of Shabbos extends to Motzei Shabbos. So even though, let's say you were in the Galil for Shabbat, and you stayed a little bit longer with your hosts, you had a Malava Malka with them, the kviyut would extend, and you would be considered a Ben Bayit for there for that night as well, even if you're leaving later on. And he said, you should light there, unless you're going to be able to get home in time for the normal time of lighting, you should light right there. That was one opinion. The other extreme is what we would normally think, and that's, no, go immediately after Shabbat, go home to wherever you are, it takes you 2 hours, 3 hours, and light right then and there. Make sure that you have someone that's there, if it's already past the time of Tichlei Regem Neshuk, that you could be Mefarsim Neis for them at least. So, you know, make sure that someone, one of your roommates are up during that time, so that you can light, and someone else will see the Neirot Chanukah as well. There is a pshara, and that's Rav Sternbach. He says that if you leave immediately after Shabbat, so then you should light yourself. But if you're gonna be staying for a long time, then you can light there. So these are really two. Yeah, he really says that.
Even if it's a trip, like even if you're gonna get on a bus from the Sefat, you get the first bus out of the Sefat, he says light at home.
So again, in Ramat Beit Shemesh, I would say if you're gonna get here by 9 o'clock, certainly no problem. You should light here. If you're gonna get here at 11 o'clock. So even in Ramat Beit Shemesh, 11 o'clock is fine, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Ravach would say light where you are. Light where you are. Don't light here. Rav Sternbach there, we'd probably say light where you are. It's more of Pirsum Anissa. Pirsum Anissa seems a very common thread. Rav Zudi?
Why not both?
Light both places. Yeah.
You said the bracha in the first place, and then you don't put the bracha on the second place. Just for Yotze Olshita.
Well, if you're carrying your own Chanukiah with you, so then that could be difficult. Although you could, I guess, blow it out and then come back home. You could do that. You could do that. But here we're not trying to complicate matters. We're trying to get the Ikar Din, and that is to be Yotze the Mitzvah the best way possible. You want to say, be Mahadir, light there and light there. I don't know if that's necessary. I don't know if that's necessary. If you're definitely Yotze the Mitzvah, so I don't know if it's necessary to be Yotze twice. I don't know if that's, if you're gaining so much. But it's a nice thing to do.
You light there, and then you have to wait a half hour to blow it out.
Yeah, if you light there. So light right away. If you're planning to stay there, this is what the post can say. If you're planning to stay there for a while anyway, so light with them, wait for your hour, however long you're going to be there, suda malava malka, and then go back. What are you saying, Rav? It's better not to go away for Shabbos. That's
especially this Shabbos.
You know, this Shabbos kind of going down an issue. I'm talking to the people in cyberspace that they may be going away to holy places for Shabbos. You should light. Yeah, question. If you light Shabbos candles, you're bringing in Shabbos. So
you had already lit the Hanukkah candles, then couldn't say
right.
The bracha, and not say the bracha then, and then say the bracha.
Why would you want to do that?
That way you're saying the bracha is Shia.
No, the point, the bracha is just a technical thing. The mitzvah is to light candles, and you make a bracha on a mitzvah. You wouldn't be able to say the bracha later anyway, because that's a hefsek between the lighting and the bracha. You have to say the bracha immediately. And that's not, the main thing is the lighting, it's not the bracha. Yeah, other questions? Okay, so finally, we light in shul. We light here in shul, there's a Pirsumei Nisa, and therefore we do it in Marev, and we try to daven Marev right away, because we're Mezarez with the mitzvah of Neirot Chanukah, we daven Marev right away, we light in the shul for everyone to see, and here in this case with the Beit Midrash. And there's a question of you know, why we light in shul. It's like ner ishu beito. This is not a bite. This is not anything. Like what? Why do we light in shul? So there are different opinions of why we light in shul. One, the Kolbo links this to the minigin chutz la'aretz to make kiddush. There is a minigin chutz la'aretz. You make kiddush in shul, right? We don't do it here in Eretz Yisrael, but they do it in chutz la'aretz. Are there any shuls in Eretz Yisrael that do that? I don't think so. In chutz la'aretz, though, they did. There are people who perhaps who are travelers who go into a place and they need kiddush, so they do it in shul. So connected to that is the minig to light in chutz la'aretz for people who don't have homes, I guess. So kevin shenagu nagu. Chavis Yair says that is a period of time that people lit indoors. Like, they didn't have Eretz Yisrael, the freedom that we have today to light outdoors. And since indoors is really no Pirsumei Nisa, so too we light in the shul, which doesn't really have Pirsumei Nisa. So that's what he says. And the Gra says something very interesting. It's a parallel to a minig of Halal in shul on Leila Seder, that we say Halal in shul that night. So since we have a din of Halal for Yachid, Halal ala kos, we would extend this to the Tzibur as well. There are many different opinions of why we light in the shul, but certainly the Ravid's opinion stands out very strongly, and that's Zecher Lemikdash. That just like the Mikdash we would light, so too here we light. We light not only at night, we also light during the daytime in shuls. The only difference is that we don't make a bracha during the day. Okay, we make a bracha on the Neirot at night, but we don't make a bracha during the day. Any final questions before we stop? Okay, so Bezrat Hashem, we should remember again that the way Hashkacha had it for Am Yisrael was that the Yevanim who tried to wipe out Torah, wipe out mitzvot, they wound up doing just the opposite, being mechazik Torah and mitzvot across the globe. That people are osik for 8 days, even people so far removed from Judaism, they're osik in a mitzvah of Chanukah, which is a beautiful thing. And we have more mitzvot the Rabbanan, that were added because of Chanukah. We should be mechazik ourselves in Torah and in mitzvot for Chanukah. And wherever you go, make sure you prepare many different Torah so that the sudot that you have will become sudot of mitzvah of the mitzvah of Chanukah. Chanukah Sameach.